each city, I had allowed the wrong man to control me with sex. I went from being a naive, lovesick country girl to a high-priced call girl. Larry Holmes must have gotten his wife and me pregnant the same night, because 9 months later, she and I ended up in the same hospital on the same day to give birth to his babies. But that wasn't bad enough. I didn't even know that the man I'd been sleeping with for more than a year had a wife, until she cold-cocked me in the parking lot at Jupiter's discount department store one afternoon 5 days ago. Other than that vicious assault, there was nothing unusual about that day. It was a Friday, the chosen day of my work week that I usually called in sick, so I could start my weekend early. I did this about every 8 weeks. My high-maintenance relationship with Larry required a lot of my time. And even though I needed my mundane job at the Department of Motor Vehicles, I couldn't let it interfere with my plans. It had taken me too long to find happiness and true love. Except for death, nothing was going to stand in my way. I was not just a woman in love. I was a fool in love. But at 33 and still single, you would have thought that I was blind, too. Because so far, I had refused to acknowledge the red flags that Larry frequently waved in my face, like him never taking me to his apartment or even letting me know where he lived. And he would only allow me to call him at work or on his cell phone. Larry had me right where he wanted me, in the dark. I couldn't see the light even though it was right in my face. It was a sad position to be in at my age. But like I said, I was a fool in love. One of the reasons for my condition was Larry made me feel special. He'd missed a day's work without pay to paint my apartment. He worked on my car for free. And he often accompanied me to movies I knew he would hate. "Girl, we are the only black folks sitting up in this theater," he'd complained with a chuckle and a loud yawn. The night I dragged him to see my big fat Greek wedding. "We can sneak into that race car movie next door," I said, pouting. "Uh-uh, baby. This is the movie you wanted to see. All I care about is pleasing you. Just wake me up when it's over." That's the kind of talk he used to keep me in my place. And it worked. It took a lot of energy to make a relationship work, and I was one hard-working woman. I figured that if I put a lot into it, I'd get a lot out of it. I didn't even mind lending money to Larry, because he always paid me back when he said he would, even though he often borrowed the same amount of money the next day. I had girlfriends who did even more for their men, so I didn't think I was doing anything out of the ordinary. Not long after I'd made the well-rehearsed call to my supervisor's voicemail, complete with a weak voice and a hacking cough, Larry had come by my apartment on his way to work for a wake-up call. Our sex life was so good we'd named it. I looked forward to our wake-up calls, which, by the way, sounded a lot better to me than the crude and overused term booty call that so many of the people I knew used. And I didn't wait for Larry to approach me. I requested wake-up calls as often as he did. Since Larry had stopped trying to talk me into getting an abortion and was now helping me choose a name for our baby, I thought he was as happy as I was about me being pregnant. He didn't care how bloated and lopsided my face was, or how swollen my ankles were, as I splashed around naked in the shower with him that morning. "Lula May, I don't know if I can make it back this evening for dinner. My, cousins from D.C. are still at the house, see?" Larry told me, tapping my navel and then rubbing the base of my belly with the palm of his hand. "They want to go out to dinner again before they leave." Since Larry made so many sacrifices for me, I didn't like to badger him too much. But when he disappointed me, I felt I had the right to let him know. "Don't you want me to go with y'all?" I whined. "I'd like to meet some of your relatives." Larry tickled my chin and kissed my forehead. Then he spoke to me in the same slow, controlled way I'd heard him speak to foreigners who didn't fully understand our language. "Now, baby, you better stay home and get some